Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, let our hearts be like the hearts of the wise men. Let our eyes be focused on Jesus like the wise men focus on the star. And may we journey with you this morning, dear Holy Spirit. Fill me with your power and your anointing, that I may preach your word in boldness, in truth. Let everyone that is here be blessed this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we want to talk about this sermon this morning. We want to talk about the gift, the gift, the restoring gift. And we want to talk about three things we can learn from the wise men this morning. Three things. And what are the three things that we can learn from the wise men this morning? We want to learn on worship. We want to learn on offering. And we want to learn on service. So three things that we can learn from the wise men. Now, if you have your Bible, it's Matthew 1, 1 to 11. Those of you that have your smartphone, iPad, or things that, did you bring your laptop to? Then you can follow in the YouVersion. The sermon outlines are there in the YouVersion. So it's from Matthew 1 to 11. So the first thing that we want to talk about is, let me set it up for you. So the Bible did not mention how many wise men were there. Okay, there is no record in the Bible that there were three wise men. You will not find that. Now, how did we come to this number of having three wise men? It is because it's related to the gifts that are mentioned in the Bible. What is the first gift? Second? And the third one? So they thought that because of the three gifts, there were three wise men. But there is no mention of three wise men in the Bible. So it just say wise men. It could be more than three. But we are down to three because of the gifts. So they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, precious thing, frankincense and incense. Myrrh is an anointing thing. So we think, oh, why did they do that? And there is a history for these things, right? So Seleucus II, if you're a historian, I'm a historian, so I'm very interested in history. Seleucus II, when he came to the city of Miletus, he offered the Apollo, the god, three things. Do you know what they were? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay? That is about 233 BC, long before Christ was born. But you go back about 600, 700 years, see, Isaiah the prophet had prophesied in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6. In fact, Isaiah chapter 60 is about the Gentiles coming to Zion and worshiping. So who are the Gentiles that are going to come and worship the king? And what do they come with? They come with gold and incense, frankincense. See, Isaiah saw these things. And the queen of Sheba is mentioned in Isaiah 60. That the kings from the Gentiles are going to come and offer in Zion, the Gentiles. See, the wise men are the Gentiles. These three kings are from the east. And they're Gentiles. And they had come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. What the prophet saw long time ago, about 600, 700 years ago, more like 600. Because Isaiah started prophesying around 700 BC before Christ, and then 700 to 500. So you can ask, did Isaiah live for 200 years? That's for another sermon. Because Isaiah is divided into three sections. Okay. So we have the background of that. People know, even from non-Christian, non-Judaic tradition, they have known about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that they give to somebody that's honorable. Right? So So the Gentiles knows this. In fact, the kings of the East knows this tradition. So they have come. I'm setting this up for you, for this sermon. So notice what the wise men did when they came, when they found Mary and the baby, when they came to the manger, when the star has stopped above the place where they were living. Notice what they did. They fell down, right? They fell down and worshipped. They fell down and worshipped. And who are these wise men? Wise men? They were kings. They're coming to fall down. They fell down and worshipped this baby boy. What do you think people did in their courts, in their kingdoms? People come and worship them. When I was in India, there is an exiled Tibetan government in Himachal Pradesh. I went there because my cousin was learning Tibetan language and also Tibetan Buddhism. So the Dalai Lama that you know, he comes here, the U.S. quite often, that's his center. So I went there and stayed there for a month learning the language and eating the good Tibetan food. Yeah. In his palace, he has a nice palace, the Dalai Lama there. With rain or shine, snow, there is snow there, water. If the Dalai Lama comes down this road, what do the people do? They prostrate on the ground. Whether there is water, it doesn't matter. Whether there is ice, whether there is dirty things, they prostrate before him so he can pass. They worship him. How many of you worship anyone like that? Have you ever prostrated before the Lord? They fell down doesn't mean like something like this, you know. They're talking about real falling down. Whether it's a worship like this or real worship prostrating. That's the act of worship. And the kings are doing that. Have you ever worshiped God like that? You try it in your room. I want you to try it in your house when nobody sees. The first time I tried to prostrate and worship God, it felt a little odd. Then why am I doing this? But it's humbling. It cleanses your soul. It cleanses your soul. It tells you who God is. It tells about the state of our attitude, our heart. They have come, they fell down and worshiped Christ. When I first came to America, I was in the Green Lake Conference Center one summer as a multicultural staff. There was a group of youth that has come for what did they call it? I forgot the youth name. Yeah, the quest. And there was a church from Kansas that had come there. And we're having this round table, and we were having a communion. And everybody's sitting on the chair, and the pastor and the youth pastor, they started coming, and they were going to wash the feet of everyone. When they came to me, I was very humbled. I was almost in tears because the American missionaries brought the gospel to our people. Okay? About 200 years ago, the American Baptist missionary came to our land and they brought the gospel. So, our people were headhunters. We were like the Vikings. So when you go to a land and capture the villages and raid the villages, the victorious one would cut off the head and bring it as a trophy home. So we have a big lake in our village, a big lake, and that's where they keep the head. And when the hair and the skin are fallen off, then you go and pick up the head and bring it to your home and put it up there as a decoration piece, or keep in a land, or you drink rice beer with it, you know. So, any one of you go to sleep, your head may not be there, I'm telling you. Just don't sleep on me. That might be the last thing you see. I still got my knife here, okay? So when they came to wash my feet, I said, no, I should be washing their feet, not them. They brought the gospel to me. I should be washing the feet of these pastors. And I had tears in my eyes when they were washing my feet. Closest, very closest to me of being, you know, adored. They were not adoring me, they were adoring Christ. But the act of humility by the pastor, American pastor, that touched me. That touched me. See, the purpose of God's gift is for His glory. When they had come into the house, they saw a young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. Whom do you really worship? Whom do you really worship? Because, let's look at the scripture here. So when the wise men came, and when they met Herod, and they say, where is the child born? Then Herod called the scribes, the learned ones, and said, hey, who is this new king? Right? And the scribes came and said, and they referred to the prophets and the old books, and they said, oh, it says that in Bethlehem the child will be born. It's prophesied. But who went to worship him? Herod did not go to worship. Even the scribes did not go to worship. Eh? It was the Gentiles that went to worship. Who are the scribes? It's the religious people. You know, you and I are very religious people. But that does not necessarily mean that we're worshiping God. See, we know so much about Christ. But like the scribes, who knows a lot about where Christ was going to be born, but they knew, but they did not go to worship Him. You can come here every Sunday. You can be here in every life group and not be worshiping God. Just because you show up doesn't mean you're worshiping. Just because you know does not mean you're worshiping God. God knows our heart. And who do you worship today? Who is your God? Do we have the heart of the wise men? The kings and the royals, the rich, they did not go to worship. Herod did not go. The scribes did not go. It was the Gentiles, the wise men, that went to worship. See, watch what they did next. See, they opened. They opened their treasures. Right? Now, this one's very close to me. Because Christ was teaching in Matthew 6:28. He said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Right? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Now, the wise man's treasure. They come with a treasure box and they open before Mary, Jesus, Joseph. Their heart is there. And they prove their heart by opening the treasure box. You go home and do your budget. Tax time is coming, so you'll be able to do your budget. Santa Clara First Baptist Church, I want to check your budget carefully, where you spend, that you will find your heart. You will find your heart in your budget. Just do it. You have never done it, just do it, just to see where your heart is. Go and do your budget. Mortgage, food, clothes, gas bills, movies, eating out. Just look at it and see how you spend. How you spend your money is going to reveal where your treasure is, where your heart is. The wise men brought their treasures. When my wife and I came to America, the first year we were students, full-time students. One of us did not have a father growing up. My wife had never met her father. My father died when I was 11. We were raised by single mothers who value education, who worked very hard, who make sure that we don't lack anything. They were strong women, spiritual, strong, powerful women. My mother prays a lot. My mother fasts a lot. The same thing my mother-in-law. Very generous, helping poor kids, supporting them quietly. And one thing that we decided was that we were going to have a children home, and kids that are brilliant, that doesn't have resources to go to school, we will keep them in our children home. And we started with 15 kids. And we started supporting the children home $25 a month. That was what we can afford. We started with $25 a month. But we have helped. Our $25 has turned into $25,000 that we can build a home for them. My brother just sent the latest picture of a toilet that was complete, one of the toilets complete for the children home. And my wife and we used to talk about this. I don't know. You know, we say we give our tithes and offering, and maybe when we get home with the Lord, this may be one thing that the Lord say, you did good, because there is no return here. It's not coming back to us, whatever money we spend. But we value their life because our heart is with the kids. So we want them to give our education. And how do we show our heart? By giving what we have, by asking people to give shamelessly. Right? I used to say, I am not ashamed even to beg for these kids who don't have. So when we come to you, we shamelessly come to you and say, do you think you can help the orphans? Where your heart is, it speaks about you. You showed me your heart. You showed us your heart in these 60 days. I talked about Jerry and Sharon the other day, who gave us a home. But there were many of you. There were some of you who gave us a week hotel stay. We stayed in a hotel because one of you from this church gave us as a gift, Christmas gift, to stay in the hotel before we move into our house. Many of you gave us a Safeway card to shop for food. You gave us a Target gift card. You gave us a Chili gift card. You made pork rolls and ham for us. You invited us to your home. You brought home, you brought food to our house because our kids are allergic to cats and dogs. You even brought food to where we stay to eat together. It's amazing, you know, that many of the ones that has invited us has cats and dogs. And we are all allergic to cats and dogs. But you showed your kindness to us. That's where your heart is. We were loved beyond what we can imagine. You really loved us. You really cared for us. For me, that shows your heart. And I want to thank you for that. when they fell down, they had opened their treasure and they worshiped, right? So who owns your heart? Who owns your heart? Because where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Who owns your heart this morning? In our hearts, like I said in the beginning, often reflects with our budget, how we spend. Jesus talked about money more than anything else in the New Testament when he was teaching. Do you know that Jesus talked about finances more than sin? More than anything else in his teaching, Jesus talked about money. It reflects our heart. The next thing that the wise men did, look at what the wise men brought. So first, they fell down and worshiped. Second, they opened their heart. They opened their treasure. And they presented three things: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's been a lot of teaching about the significance of frankincense and myrrh. Oh, gold, it's a royalty, kingly gift. Frankincense is a priestly, it signifies his priestly nature and state. And myrrh is embalming his dead body that Christ was going to. It could be anything of those things, okay? But I want to talk about the practical thing, right? You can do the theological part and you can argue against one another and be happy, whatever it is. I want to talk about the practical things. So what happened is, when the wise men did not come back to Herod, what did Herod do? He ordered kids under to be killed. So what happened now? Joseph, Mary, and Jesus has to flee to go to Egypt. They were refugees. They were going to be immigrants. They're going to seek asylum in Egypt. I'm telling you, if some of you are here immigrants, Jesus understands your plight. If you are displaced, Jesus understands your plight. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, Jesus understands your plight. If you're worried about your housing, Jesus understands your plight. He has been through. So, if you're fleeing to a new country without much time to prepare, no time to carry along on a long journey, they're not going to be able to move like we move from Indiana in a big truck, you know? They're going to be on horse or donkey, fortunate, camel. If not, they're going to walk. Small belongings, they're going to go. Well, what do they have? They had gold. They had gold. That's the practical thing. They had gold that the wise men brought that they can use that gold when they were in Egypt. So we're talking about the gift today. The gift. The Christ Jesus. Our gift. And when we have Christ in our heart, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is where I'm coming to today. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this gift, when you read in 1 Corinthians 14, the gift of the Spirit are used for the edification of the body. The gifts are used for the edification of the church. Whatever gifts that God has given to you, it's used to edify somebody else. It's used within the church, within the body of Christ. Can we say one body? Yes, it's within the body of Christ. So if you have the gift of hospitality, you practice hospitality in the church, not just for yourself. If you have a gift of encouragement, you encourage somebody, not just to yourself. If you have a gift of discerning and knowledge and wisdom, you use that in the body of Christ. This is the gift, the practical gift that the wise men brought to the gold that Christ and Mary and Joseph can use when they were out there. And the ultimate gift is our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot beat the ultimate gift, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Christ in your heart. You have a gift. What are you doing with your gift? That's what I'm asking you this morning. Have you used your gift to edify somebody? Have you used your gift to encourage somebody? Have you used your gift of prophecy to tell something that the Lord's revealing in your heart? Have you used your gift of discerning and prayer, hospitality to bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you doing with your gifts? Are you like the one talent guy who was afraid that you're a hard master? So I was afraid I hit the talent. Here it is, one talent. And the Lord's angry with him and took it away and gave it to the one who had 10 talents. My friends, God's giving you the gift to use for the body, for the edification of the body of Christ. And we got to use the gift. We got to use the gifts. We got to use the gift. This is about service. So I talked about learning from the wise men on worship, on offering, and on services. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child Mary and his mother fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What do you do with your treasures? We want to reflect back the year 2015. This is the last Sunday of the year. Why do we want to fast, my wife and I? It's not to show that we are super, super spiritual people. We are fasting because we are weak. I'm letting you know I'm fasting and praying because I cannot do anything without God. And that I am fearful that I may lead this church wrong. That's why I'm fasting. I am fasting for direction. I am fasting for clarity. I'm fasting for some vision that the Santa Clara First Baptist Church can sail with the wind of the Holy Spirit. I want my fasting to be like the sail that is set, that I can ride on it and go where the Holy Spirit is leading me. I want one idea from God, one idea from God, that I can work on that one idea and lead this church for the glory of the Lord. That one idea, that one star that shines bright among the millions, I want that one star. I'm looking for that one star. That I want to follow that one star, that we can serve God together. That's why I'm fasting, not because I want you to look at me and say, hey, my pastor's super spiritual. He can fast for 30 days. I'm fasting because I need God. I'm fasting because I don't want to make mistakes. I'm fasting because when I fall down, I want God to pick me up. I want to understand God's mighty power in my weaknesses. I want to use the gifts that God has given. There's no ministry in January. Our ministry is going to pick up in February. Because we care for what God will do through this church. There's no ministry in January. Because we're fasting for direction and clarity. Some of you may not be able to fast. But if you want to join me and my wife to fast from the beginning of the year, you can fast just like Daniel. No wine, no meat, no delicacies, no bread. What is your delicacies? Maybe a cake, pastries, I don't know. Add to that. Do the Daniel's fast. And ask the Lord to lead you and guide you. If you have never done it, try it. I had an 80-year-old man come up to me and say, Pastor, I've never fasted in my entire Christian life. This is the first time I did it. And he said, Lord, I thank you for letting me do this. And they started talking about my daughter, my son got a job when I was fasting and praying. There are other positive things that happens when we fast and pray. I'm fasting because I want the Lord to use my gift for the edification of the body of Christ. Because what you do with your treasure, how you serve, how you give your time is going to reflect your heart. So we're learning from three things. Three things from the wise men today on, first, worship. Second, offering. And the third, on service. They came and worshiped. They opened their treasure, offering, and they presented gifts for service. Three things learning from the wise men. Let's reflect on our worship. Let's reflect on our wealth. What do we do with our wealth? And let's reflect on our service. We say at Santa Clara, we are here to? Yeah, here to serve whom? Whom do you serve? Do you serve yourself? I want you to ask that question. I like Bob Dylan. I listen to a lot of his song, right? And Bob Dylan wrote, everybody's going to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody, right? You know that song? See, you may be a king, right? But you may be just a common, ordinary person, but you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. Who do you serve? And how you serve? How you serve is going to be like this. Look at your budget. Look at your calendar. Right? Look at your budget and your calendar. And you will find out whom you serve. Go check your calendar. 2015. All the things that you have written down in your calendar, make a note of it. Where do you go? That's whom you serve. Look at your budget. That's whom you serve. Your calendar and your budget talks about who you are. More than my singing here, hallelujah, praise the Lord, my calendar and my budget will tell whom I serve and the friends that you give, the place that you go. So we want to worship. I'm going to call up the worship team to come and join us. And we're going to have a time of worship, just a time of worship. And this is how we want to do it today. It's the end of the year. If you want to reconcile with God for things that have happened this year, and you have postponed it or just kept it aside, I want you to do that when we are doing this song and worshiping. Somebody has hurt you, you haven't been able to forgive. I want you to pray to God to give you strength for forgiveness. That he or she will have no power over you. That when you think of that person will not control your day, your emotions. You know, you're so joyful in a moment, and suddenly when you remember the name of that person, it just takes away your joy. I want that to be laid on the cross today. That he or she will have no power over you. Pray for things that you can't share to other people. That you're carrying it yourself. God will hear you. Let's be on our feet. Those of you who can be on the feet, let's all stand together. And I want you to pray as we worship that you will make the calendar of 2016 with God. Do you know that you're in control of your calendar? Not anyone else. You're in control of your own calendar. You're in control of the wealth that God has given you. As we worship, may God help you, that we may be like the wise men. Where our heart is, there our treasure is. That we'll come before God, fall down, and worship. This is an old song that you have sang many times before, very old song, the heart of worship. When all this music fades away, when all the sounds goes away, when the song is stopped singing, what's in your heart? God sees our heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance, but he sees our heart. May we worship God.